Hello, friends. Welcome to Little Bit Weebish. This is the podcast where I, Megan Cardenas, chat about the anime that I love with my friends. But today we're shaking things up with Kaylee Wheeler. Kaylee, how are you doing?
Good. How about you?
Oh my gosh, I am doing super great. I'm super pumped and very scared about how this episode is going to go because we have never done this before. For those of you who can read the title, read the little synopsis, we're going to be talking about the Toilet Bound Hanako-kun manga. We're going to talk about volumes 1 through 3. And hopefully it'll be awesome. It's going to be kind of like a book club, but with manga. And yeah, I think it'll be awesome. What do you think?
I think we got this, especially since we can compare the anime to it for the first at least 3 in multiple other volumes. So that'll be fun to do comparisons with that. So
yes. And now for those of you who are wondering, yes, this is a pretty long manga season, but we are only going to do just a small handful of these episodes just so that we can get a really good idea about the story and the world of Toilet Bound Hanako-kun. We're thinking of stopping at volume 9 or volume 12. I don't know. We'll see. You tell us how you like this. But for now, let's dive into episodes 1 through 3. But just so everyone knows, the anime doesn't cover things in the same sequence as the manga. I don't know why the anime went that route. So it's kind of interesting. We're going to be talking about things that were not even brought up in the anime, but also a lot of it still will be similar. Now, there are currently 18 volumes of the manga series so far. There might be more, but currently right now there are 18 volumes. There's also Toilet Bound Hanako-kun Volume 0 and After School Hanako-kun. And yeah, I want to bring up the difference of After School Hanako-kun and Volume 0. I think we should talk about that, don't you think?
Yes.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this 0 a lot.
I did too. But for those of you who are confused, we are not going to include it because Volume 0 is not like a prequel to this series, actually. This one is considered more of a pilot to the story. It's not canon. Things are obviously different than what they are, you know, in the original series. I will say I'm actually relieved. Not that we want to dive into this too deeply, but Kaylee, I'm actually relieved that the reason for Nene saying Hanako is different from Volume 0 and Volume 1, and I am so relieved that the reason in the 0 was changed because she wanted to kill her ex versus she wanted her crush to fall in love with her. And I feel like one is obviously so much more dark. And I feel like if we went with that, this would have been an even darker series. So I'm actually really glad.
Yeah, because it'd be hard for our cinnamon roll Nene to be as cinnamon roll-y with wanting to murder someone compared to, you know, making him fall in love with him.
Exactly. Yes. And of course, if we have time, let's talk about My Dear Living Dead, the one shot manga at the end of Volume 0, because it has nothing to do with Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, but it's just so good.
Yeah, I would love to see that animated, actually.
Me too. Oh yeah. My gosh. Me too. But yeah, and so don't read Volume 0 expecting that it's going to be canon. That's why we're skipping it. And then with After School Hanako-kun, don't read that until you have several manga volumes under your belt, because you will spoil things. Like, I learned about the identity of another school mystery that wasn't mentioned in the anime.
So, oh, really? Yeah, I haven't read After School yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you know by now, given how much you've read, but it definitely spoiled it for me. In case anyone else just thinks this is cutesy side stories, yes, it is, but you will spoil yourself. So that's why we're starting with volume one, and we're just climbing on up. But yeah, let's just dive right in. You will hear some turning of the pages because we are prepared. Yeah. Nice little audio.
Right. Here's ASMR. Manga ASMR.
I love it. I am such a nerd. Kaylee, I went on to Goodreads because I wanted to find people who praise to about Hanako-kun that's not you and me, because I feel people are probably like drowning us out, like we're in some echo chamber. But I want people to know, the first volume of Hanako on Goodreads, it's rated a 4.38 with nearly 8,000 ratings. So that is like
out of town. I didn't realize it was that bad or that good.
I know. And in my mind, it's a solid 5. But like the fact that it's that high is pretty great. Also, there is a reviewer named Isa May, aka Books and Teacups, who left the review. All I can say is this comic rekindled my love for anime and manga. I love the characters, the plot, the whole of it. I have a feeling this will be one of my favorite anime/manga ever yet. And to that I say, I agree, Izume. Yes.
Yes. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, all the stars. If there's more than 5 that we can give, we're giving them. So, yeah, I'm thinking, Kaylee, since this is kind of new for both of us, let's just go like spook chapter by spook. You guys, this manga series is so cute. They don't say chapter 1 or chapter 2. It's spook 1, spook 2.
It's which so are freaking, instead of saying, like, I'm 30 years old, I want to say I'm spook 30. And then only people that, like, have read this will, well, maybe not even then, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So good. But yeah, maybe we go, like, spook chapter by spook chapter. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, because I have something at the end of Spook 1, where basically Nene obviously meets Hanako-san of the toilet. But at the end of that chapter, he does something interesting where, well, not super interesting. Well, I thought it was. But at the end, after Hanako eats the scale, he tells Nene, to you, being bound to someone and being a couple are the same thing, right? And I feel like that's a subtle difference, because in the anime, it was so Nene could have someone to share things with. But I think adding the couple line shows just how naive and lonely both of them are. And I think that it shows that it's not just Nene who wants someone. It's also Hanako who wants someone too. I don't know. I feel like it's a very subtle difference, and maybe I'm overlooking it. What do you think?
No, I feel like in the manga, they say love and like a lot more than like crush, which they do a lot in the anime.
Yes, they do.
I feel like that's a big, not a big difference, but definitely a difference in motives and how they look and feel like the things that they're doing. So I don't know if that's just like a more culture thing or if it's.
Yeah, I don't know, but I absolutely agree with you there. The next thing, I want to talk about something in Spook 3. Do you have anything in Spook 2, or can I jump to 3?
I just want to say, actually, on the first page on the anime, they didn't do is when they show like the little light bulbs that has 1 through 7 for the spook.
Oh, yeah.
It says, if you learn the truth behind all seven of them, something will happen, they say. And they didn't have that in the anime. So I think that's something to look forward to when we learn all the spooks, what's going to happen.
Oh, freaking H. Yeah, you're right.
And I thought that was interesting they didn't put that in the anime, because you would think that'd be something that's like, hey, wait until you learn all of these because something's going to happen.
Yeah. Maybe because the school shuts down.
School board, like, we should have been here all along. Who knows?
Oh my gosh. Maybe we finally learn that the principal and the school board and literally every adult in this series is a supernatural.
We'll just learn Hanako is the principal.
Yeah. No, that is so cool. Let's see. Is there anything in, like, Spook 2 that stood out to you?
No, I mean, I was watching the anime and going through, like, page by page, and they did a really good one, especially for the first, like, Spook, of almost doing exactly the same panel by panel.
Right. They did a really good job, and I think the differences start showing in Volume 2. Yeah. More so, but I will say, okay, in Spook 3, we learn that, obviously, Ko's grandma, she sealed away Toilet, Hanako-san of the Toilet. And I said in the last episode, I need to know about that timeline, like, I want to know about her being an exorcist when she first meets Hanako, because obviously he probably died when she was a student. And yeah. How freaking creepy would that be?
Yeah. I mean, and what did she seal, right? Like, is he more powerful than what we are seeing right now? Because he is sealed? Or?
Ooh. Well, it says it took all of my grandma's strength to seal away Hanako-san of the Toilet. He's a really, really diabolically evil spirit. And look, he's using a carving knife for a weapon. That's proof that he used it, the weapon, while he was alive, too. He used that knife to take someone's life. Maybe here sealing that? Okay, I have two things. Either he really was a piece of crap, really evil before the sealing, or what if the spirit that she's actually talking about was Tsukasa, and just through family lore they think it's Hanako, but really it's Tsukasa that they're talking about, because they look identical.
But Tsukasa has a seal too on his face, so they both have seals.
Yeah, but maybe just through lore, it kind of got muddled, and really they're talking.
And both. Yeah, and she maybe you thought, like, yeah, that's true. Like, she's like, I thought I got you already, and she didn't, and she just put in, like, another seal, and she's like, oh, okay.
Exactly. So I don't know, but that would be really interesting. I wish that we could learn
more about that background, too, because that would be really interesting to know.
Exactly. Okay. There is a part that I want to talk about where Ko is trying to, let's see, Ko is trying to exorcise Hanako. And let's see, it's the part where Hanako says that he looks forward to the day that Ko will exorcise him. And I feel like that, him saying that, is what's going to happen at the end of the series. Like, when Hanako's mission is over, it will be Ko who is the one who releases him as the school mystery by exorcising him, and Hanako will move on. I feel like that's going to be the ending.
And I love and hate that at the same time. Like, that is so poetic, but also makes me want to cry, because I feel like they're gonna be like best friends, besto friendos by the end of this. And then but how sweet would that be? Like, go rest, like you've done your duty. Like,
yeah, I mean, I I think that's going to be it. So
if it's not, I'm going to be a little sad. Like, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to the mangaka Ida Iro and be like, I feel like this would have been a better ending. I know that you can do whatever you want, but come on. Actually, they listen to this podcast, the Ida Iro duo.
It's ongoing still, right? So he's got time, I hope.
Exactly. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is something from the translation notes, but do you have anything else you want to talk about from, like, Spook 3 or from this volume?
I just think it's interesting how Hanako calls Ko kid, like, a lot. So yeah. I think it shows that Hanako, just a reminder, like, hey, he may look 14, but he's still, like, 60 years old.
Yeah, like, that's
don't
true.
Forget, he's not a kid.
That's true. Anything else from the manga?
I think we're good to go next. Spook.
Okay. Because the last thing I want to talk about, I freaking love that this series does this, is that they have translation notes. So they'll talk about things in Japanese culture that would add more to the story. It kind of is like, hey, we're letting you in on the inside joke here, which I love.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, there is, though, one of the translation notes I want to bring up is Misaki, because, of course, Misaki played a huge role in the anime and in this manga.
Right.
So, in this page, or in this volume, Misaki is Japanese for promontory, as in a piece of land jutting out into the ocean. In this case, the stairs that are jutting out into the ocean... Sorry, it's really dark in my office. In this case, these stairs are jutting out into the ocean between this life and the next. The word Misaki has other meanings as well. For example, it is the name for servants, such as foxes or crows, that appear to herald the coming of a supernatural being, such as a god. It can also refer to a spirit of someone who has died an unnatural death, which is why when someone kills themselves, it is sometimes said that the Misaki called to them. So just like ultra creepy in some significant ways. Like, we knew that Misaki, the teacher, actually did die.
He fell down the stairs.
Yeah. So maybe it was more of an untimely death. But yeah, there's that. And then also, of course, Yako is a fox. So I just like love the added meaning to the Misaki lore.
And plus the ocean between this life and the next. And the fourth stair took you to the boundary, which is... you know, the middle between the near and far shore. So life and death.
Exactly.
So, like all three of them in one. That's so cool.
I know. So creative and so like, cool.
Like, seriously, way to go.
I know. So yeah, let's now talk about our favorite things in volume 2. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Oh, I want everyone to know that in volume 1, it talks about Hanako, son of the toilet, the fairy, so the mokai, and the boy exorcist, the Misaki stairs. It really does follow the pattern of the anime. But in the second volume, it kind of deviates a little bit in the order. And plus, we get a little bit extra information. So in volume 2, we finish up the Misaki stairs. We also get the confession tree. And then we have chapters called The Young Exorcist. So, and it's not a repeat on Ko. I'll just say that till we get to that point. But yeah, I have something for Spook 6. Chapter 6, Spook 6. When Hanako comforts Nene in the Misaki Stairs realm, he says, "Here, where there is no birth or death, the ones with the most power are the ones who don't know when to give up." And I just think that that's a very sweet message and kind of a little bit of a moral that is lost in the anime. And I feel like Nene, as she's entering this world of supernatural for the first time, where she's trying to rescue her friend, I feel like that's a very important lesson for her to learn right in the beginning, because then we see her not giving up in the other, I guess you would say, arcs coming up. So I think this is very important for Hanako to share this with her.
Yeah, I think that's something that probably should have been highlighted more in the anime.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know. Not a turning point, but something that's definitely a milestone in her character. But
I agree. I just stumbled on a really funny face after he says that, where Nene says, "I'm in. I'll do it. I'll do anything." And then he makes a creepy face. Anything? And that's just before he ties her up and, you know,
pushes her over.
Exactly. Yeah. So pretty hilarious.
Like, oh my gosh. And then her scales come. She's like, oh my gosh.
I know. She's so freaking cute. And I just love it. Gosh. I mean, the art is so beautiful. It really is. It's gorgeous. I do want to say, we probably should have mentioned this in the beginning, but we're just so excited to jump in. About the mangaka, it's actually a duo. And so, Aida Iro, the Iro part of Aida Iro is the writer, and Aida, A-I-D-A, is the illustrator of the series. But gosh, what a powerful duo, because I feel like the storytelling is incredible, but then the art just...
it just really ties it together.
Makes it come alive, yeah. So
the difference between going from cutesy to creepy, because, you know, Hanako always, even when it's serious, he has those puppy dog hands, and he's just floating there. And then yes, he goes to the next scene, and it's just like a creepy doll. Like, the body that they pick, or they did for this, when they put them all together, this body that they create.
Oh my gosh. So bad. But yeah. It's just gorgeous. But the next thing I want to bring up. Okay. It's in Spook 8. So we're going to talk about in Spook 8. The confession tree moment. It's when Nene makes a comment about Hanako confessing his feelings for her. And she says, "It would feel special, like being the heroine in a girl's novel or a girl's manga." And I'm like, this is so cute and also so meta. Because, right, because we're reading it in a manga and you are the heroine. So
I think that's her main goal, is to be like a heroine, like, that gets saved, or, like, gets to save people. I'm like, you literally are right now.
Exactly. Gosh, it's so cute. But okay, the next thing that I do want to bring up is, okay, it's kind of at the end of Spook 8, and we get into Chapter 9, or Spook 9, which is the Young Exorcist chapters.
Mm-hmm.
We actually see, we learn a lot about Teru Minamoto, aka Ko's big brother. You know, he was a prodigy exorcist. You know, he showed skill, amazing skill, by 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, people are saying, I would expect nothing less from the Minamoto clan. And Ko's watching him and thinking he's amazing. and, you know, here Teru is as a prodigy.
That really gives me Itachi and Sasuke vibes.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. One. Yeah. Very, very similar vibes, except Ko is not an emo sulky kid. He's like a golden retriever.
That's
yes.
That's translated over to someone else.
But yeah, no, but here's another thing. Is that what I like about these chapters that were not even freaking brought up in the anime is that we see Teru is like, you have to kill these exercise these seven mysteries, and then he's like, you know what, this is probably too much for you, I'm taking you off of this case, right? You know, but Ko is like, no, I will do this. And we actually see Ko literally stalking Hanako, cutting class. And then, you know, he realizes that Hanako is returning all the stuff that the Mokai stole, which, you know, they are just deviant little creatures with intrusive thoughts, and they act on them constantly. Right. But what I love, and I wish that they had, is that there was something special that was hidden in the wall of one of these tower buildings. And so the two work together to try to grab this special thing that's up on this wall. You know, Hanako falls, which he's a ghost, so he doesn't die. But, you know, Ko freaks out, rushes to see him. And then when he realizes Hanako's okay, Hanako gives Ko his traffic safety amulet, his earring, because that was the important thing that he wanted to find. And Ko, he says, so wait, this is the thing that looks so important? You know, his earring. And then he realizes, he says, there is such a thing. There is such a thing as a good supernatural. And he says, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to exercise you after all. Like, right. This was such a turning point in his mind for their friendship, which I thought would have been great, because then Hanako, you see that he has remorse, because he turns it on Ko and is like, but you literally said the other day that I had murdered someone. He's like, but yeah, but you actually are a good supernatural. And he's like, what kind of reason would it be to would justify killing another person? And so then he kind of takes his knife and looks like he's going to stab Ko. And I think it's more to illustrate, like, I am not a good person. You cannot justify murdering someone. I will never be this good supernatural. And gosh, I wish we had this in the anime. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling because there's another part. But what do you think so far? What are your thoughts?
I think this is crucial, like a good reminder of Hanako. Like, we can't forget that he murdered somebody. Like, as many good deeds as he does, he's still a killer, right? So
right. And he looks, in one of the pages, he looks very out of body, kind of like when Tsukasa came and he kind of like rattled Hanako. He looks very much like that also, which I think just shows that Hanako is in some ways kind of he is a tortured character. He might look chipper and happy. He might look very lovable, but he is very much a tortured character.
Right. I mean, something pushed him to the breaking point. Like, we just have to find out what made him, like, deranged, really.
Absolutely. And then the next thing, which, again, because it follows right into this, I wish that the anime had this. Teru, Minamoto Senpai, he ends up, air quotes, rescuing Ko from Hanako. He zaps him with his exorcist knife. And then he
really badass looking. Like, that is a cool looking sword.
Right? It's so cool. And he wraps Ko up in this chain to like keep him away from interfering. And Teru, he looks like he's going to kill, like exorcise Hanako. He stabs him in the hand to keep him away. Keep him down. He's about to like lightning burst and zap. And there's a scene that he says. It literally looks like he's about ready to be killed. And Teru says, he tells Hanako, just stop fighting it. You've been in the living world for how many years? It's about time you accept your punishment. And Hanako says, punishment? You living people are all the same. You all think dying, disappearing, is the best way to atone. As if the life of a murderer could ever atone for anything. And then he screams, with tears on his face, destroying me would only be a release. I still have things I need to do here. Again, tortured character. I feel like this would have added so much more depth to Hanako if this was in the anime. And of course, Ko realizes things he needs to do, and he escapes the little bead chain that Teru put on him, and he stops his brother from exercising Hanako. So again, like a super pivotal moment in their friendship. And I feel like the lesson that Ko seems to make with Mitsuba, he actually learns it much earlier in the manga series with Hanako and the regrets that Hanako has and what he feels he needs to do still. So
I mean, this would have been so cool to see, because I don't know why they didn't. It's action. I mean, it has heart. It's everything you pretty much want in anime, especially as a season finale, at least.
Right. I feel like
with Fish, like wanting to bring back Nene as their princess, which is cute, of course, but why not this? Like, this is like cream of the crop.
Right. Right. If you're doing things out of order, this would have made an excellent season finale, at least, because it could have been just like, you know, Teru finally could have said, like, enough is enough. I'm taking this into my own hands. And they could have ended it at least this way.
Right.
And gosh, it would have been so good. But at the very least, I think this volume alone makes it worth it to at least invest in the series. Because, oh, there's so much heart that we just missed. And I will say, I think the anime, 10 out of 10. Like,
right. Well, I'm not trying to like say they did.
But when it, did. Right. But when in comparison of the manga, if the manga's a 10, the anime's a 6. So adjust your scales how you will. But yeah, it was just so good. And, I don't know. Is there anything that you want to add?
No, I agree with everything. If they don't have a second season, we don't get to see this, I'm going to be so sad.
We will revolt.
we will demand it. We'll produce it all on our own. We'll call MAPPA. Well, it's not from MAPPA, but
we'll they call buy the everything. Studio. We'll find some. Exactly.
I wonder if it's a smaller studio, because I've never heard of it. It's like Leap,
yeah.
Or like I've never heard of it before, so I don't know.
Neither had I, but gosh, it's so amazing. But okay, I think if we've said everything we need to say for volume 3 or volume 2, let's just dive into volume 3. So for everyone who wants context on what we're covering for the story, it's got the 4 p.m. book stacks, a.k.a. the 4 o'clock library. And pretty much it covers all of that in all of the chapters, except for the last one, which is on donuts.
Donut.
Yeah, we've spent plenty of time talking about the donuts we love, so let's just dive right in. I've got something for the first chapter. Yeah, chapter 11. But yeah, basically it deals with Tsuchigomori on page 16. He's getting on to Ko about going to the girls' restroom.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I love seeing Mr. Tsuchigomori outside of the library and being just Ko's teacher. Because unlike Yako, number two, he is more of a school mystery in plain sight, posing as a teacher. Again, I don't get it. I don't get how he is just chilling as not a human, but a supernatural dealing with students.
And someone that can look human, because Hanako, you can't see him unless you write like Nene did a contract and like bonded right. with him. So how is he able to like teach and not everybody's like, hey, he's school mystery number.
Right.
Which number?
Exactly.
Is
school mystery number five. Number five. But I will say, for those of you who are like still unsure about starting the manga series, he doesn't look like a spider. He has just, you know, the two legs, the two arms, still looking a little punk emo. but yeah. I do love that we saw him in teacher mode, and then it was like, holy crap, the surprise of him also being a supernatural. I did love that.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I just thought he was a regular old Joe, but nope. He's a spider.
Right. Right. When you read it, you're like, plot twist of all plot twists.
No way, yeah.
But yeah, on page 54... it's Ko who's like, I can't believe one of our teachers isn't human. And then that's when we learn this little nugget. Mr. Tsuchigomori says, it's really not that unusual. Oh, and this is what lays into my, like, Aoi theory. Okay, so he says, it's really not that unusual. There are, in fact, quite a few supernaturals who have chosen to blend in with the humans. We supernaturals need the rumors of us to keep circulating, or we can't stand the living world. A crucial part of that is spreading our own rumors. And well, there are other reasons too, but mainly it's convenient. Who knows? One of your friends might turn out to be something other than a human.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's my Aoi theory. That's my Aoi theory. And honestly, it could be my Sakura theory too, with her, well, being a part of spreading the rumors. But yeah, mainly Aoi. Right.
I mean, yeah, she's front and center of the rumor mill, so.
Exactly. Okay. It's like, can I get your sources? Right. It's like I'm an Instagram caption person, like source question mark, you know.
No, so. Or like college again. Please cite your sources. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. In MLA format, please.
Oh, no. PTSD about that, but
but yeah, I'm sure I probably triggered some poor unfortunate soul with that. Sorry.
Right.
Oh, okay. I want to bring something up. Let's see. It's again still in the book stacks. I'm just going to give you the page number because it's all the book stack stuff, but it's on page 78. And it deals with the relationship with Tsuchigomori and Hanako. He just says, just our honorable number. Oh, he's trying to get the secrets from the students. Right. He says, just our honorable number seven. I didn't realize he was capable of making that expression. And Hanako's like, what? And he's like, it's unexpected. I do know everything about you after all. Your secrets and your future. By now, I'd assume you wouldn't be interested in making friends. But, well, that might be interesting. It's mm-hmm. like, He knows everything about Hanako, and yet for some reason, Hanako, the one who could change his future, is still making things so unexpected for Tsuchigamori that it just kind of takes him aback. And I also,
Nene wasn't supposed to do the contract with him. Like, if that was something unexpected.
Maybe. Yeah, because he says that he didn't know he'd be interested in making friends. This seems to be, again, something unexpected from him.
Right. Because, I mean, how long has he been? We know he was lonely when he was talking to Nene up on the rooftop. So, I mean, how long has he been by himself in a bathroom stall, right?
Exactly. So I just think that that's interesting, even given the history, how far they go back. Now let's see. Oh, I want to talk about the flashback. But if you have anything before the flashback, we can talk about it.
I just forgot that. Nene said, wait, I practiced kissing with my pet hamster.
Yes!
and then her hamster's name was Black Canyon. And he only lived for 3 months. I love that when they talk about Nene's pets, they tell what the age is and or the name and how long that the pet lived.
I know. Gosh, so funny. Okay. So with the flashback, there's the part where Tsuchigamori questions who is hurting Hanako, aka Yuji Amane, and he's trying to coax it out of him. You know, what's like, who is hurting him, and you know. He's right. Just like, just what kind of reason would justify hurting someone this bad? And Yuji, aka Hanako, says, I'm fine. And then he says, on the next page, the page right before Spook 14, he says, even if no one else would ever forgive them, even if there's no way to justify it, I forgive them. And I know if we didn't watch the anime, we wouldn't have known that he was talking about his brother, you know, but reading between the lines, this tells me that he wasn't going to share that his abuser was his brother. I think that this was his way of unfortunately protecting his brother from any sort of shame or judgment that would come along. Because in his heart, he was saying he was forgiving them, but he knew that other people wouldn't. But unfortunately, that is the reason why he was continually abused and why Tsuchigamori never got to the bottom of it, because Hanako was living with his abuser, his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, it's someone he can't really get away from when you go to school and, you know, home.
Exactly. Again, makes me wonder about those parents, but we know in anime no parents exist.
There are no parents.
Exactly.
I just realized that the Moon Rock was the teacher's Yorishiro.
Yeah, Yorishiro, yeah.
So I don't think it could be Hanako's too, because the rock was his.
No, it is number two, Mr. Tsuchigamori's, that he gave the Moon Rock to him. But I will say, I think it's interesting the fact that Hanako does not know that Mr. Tsuchigamori's Yorishiro is the Moon Rock that he had given him.
Yeah, like how, what a like, bond, he didn't even know.
Seriously, like it makes me wonder what Mr. Tsuchigamori's old Yorishiro was, and it also makes, because it's supposed to be your most prized possession, and then, you know, he gets this Moon Rock, and then his student, the thing happens with the students. We don't know exactly the details, but it's profound enough that that became the most important thing to Mr. Tsuchigamori. You know? And Hanako doesn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's something beautiful about that.
I do too.
But yeah. Oh gosh.
I wonder if he became a school mystery just as be still close to Hanako even after death.
You know, maybe. I mean, who knows? Maybe he was just a regular supernatural, but not a school mystery when Hanako was alive. But
promoted.
Yeah, maybe he got promoted. Exactly. But gosh, I freaking love this. And of course, the rest of the manga is very similar to the anime where they make those donuts, they have that heart-to-heart talk, and then bam, it gets interrupted. But we don't see anything. We just see the black orbs, the opposite of Hanako's Hakujōdai. And it says, I found you. And then it's like...
anime.
It's like, exactly. Like, oh, that knife brings back memories.
You know?
And of course we see the terror in his eyes, and whew, how the manga ends.
Right. Well, good thing it doesn't. Good thing we have volume 4.
Yes. This volume in particular. Let's see.
Which was the hardest thing to find. But you know. I have
which
a volume
one?
4 conspiracy. Volume 4 of Toilet Bone.
Oh my gosh. You. I'm going to have a rant about volume 4 when we record it. But yeah, there's just so much cool stuff. Of course, still highly recommend people reading the translation notes. There's some good stuff in there. But yeah, absolutely love this. I think that I covered everything that I wanted to talk about in the volumes. What about you?
Yeah, I think we did good for the first manga volume.
Yeah,
I like that.
Me too. Way to go, us. Hopefully other people liked it too.
Like, worst episode I've ever heard.
No. Oh my gosh. Okay, but in all seriousness though, everyone, I think that's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us. And seriously, if you love this episode, if it wasn't your jam, I want to hear it. Give me feedback because, you know, we're testing the waters here, needless to say. So, of course, happy to get any sort of feedback from you. You can either send us an email at littlebitweebish@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram or TikTok. I want to hear what you think about this episode. And, of course, if you want to support this episode, feel free to share it with a friend or give us a review. Join us seriously for... these little manga book club episodes because I think it's pretty fun. Now everyone, next week you can join us by reading and following along or being cool with spoilers for the next 3 manga volumes. We're going to cover episodes manga volumes 4 through 6, so we hope that you're ready for that or that you're cool with spoilers. Either way, thank you so much, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.